As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
True crime, unsolved cases, strange disappearances. Join me as we travel through the timeline of some of the darkest acts in human history. I'm your host, Kevin Eustace, and welcome to the second season of The Deadly Countdown. Welcome to the Deadly Countdown Season 2 Finale, Aileen Wuornos, the Damsel of Death. That's right, for our season finale of Season 2, we're going to take a deep dive into the mind and indeed the crimes of one of the, if not the, most infamous female serial killer of all time, Aileen Wuornos. This is a case which throws up so many questions in regards to the human condition, gender roles within crime, mental instability and how that's factored in or sometimes completely disregarded in regards to the judicial system, and perhaps the most important question, what effect does our upbringing have on what we do as adults? I believe genuinely we all, every human being, has the ability to murder. However, for most of us, that switch is far out of reach. Does a bad upbringing and several other factors bring that switch ever closer until, for some people, it's so within reach that all it takes is that one act for the hand to reach out and flick that switch? But before we take that deep dive, I'll introduce myself. My name's Kevin Eustace, and I'm the host of The Deadly Countdown. We're now at the finale of Season 2, and Season 3 is going to sound slightly different, the reason for which has been explained in earlier episodes, but the main crux is we're dealing with a very serious subject, one I have strong opinions on. However, due to how I chose to structure the Deadly Countdown, I didn't give myself the chance to air my opinion. And you may well think, well, we don't need your opinion. But I find personally, the podcasts I enjoy, you get to know the host. You understand how they think. And for a successful podcast, I believe that's pivotal. So, from Season 3 onwards, we will have, in my eyes, the best of both worlds. I'll get to know you, you'll get to know me, and we'll continue to look at some of the world's most heinous and most unbelievable true crime. So today is not only the end of Season 2, or the finale of Season 2, if you will, it also marks the end of the current structure. And Season 3, or the rebirth of the Deadly Countdown, if you will, begins on none other than Good Friday, Friday the 29th of March. Be sure to mark that date in your calendars as we begin Season 3 of The Deadly Countdown. And finally, before we delve into the life of Aileen Wuornos, a quick shout out to our wonderful team over at Patreon. If you enjoy true crime, we're genuinely building a wonderful community of like-minded true crime enthusiasts over at Patreon. When you sign up to Patreon, not only will you receive these episodes, both ad-free and before everyone else, you can also gain access to the Patreon-only podcast, Cold Case. Cold Case is a podcast where we take a look at some of the most mysterious, intriguing, and of course, unsolved crimes in history. Each and every fortnight, we take a look at cases like D.B. Cooper, the Black Dahlia murder, and the mysterious disappearance of aspiring musician Jim Sullivan, to name just a few. So, if early ad-free releases and a Patreon-exclusive podcast sound like they're your sort of thing, head over to our patreon.com/thedeadlycountdown now. We're about to have our three-week break, so there's no better time to do so. Patreon aside, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, because it means come the 29th of March, when we begin our new rebirth of Season 3, that debut episode in its new format will land right in your podcatcher of choice. But right now, we have the rather pressing matter of looking into the life of Aileen Wuornos. So please, for Aileen Wuornos, the damsel of death, let's start the deadly countdown. Today we delve into the dark and tumultuous life of Aileen Wuornos, a figure whose name is known worldwide, etched into the annals of American criminal history, not just for the gravity of her crimes, but for the tragic tapestry of her life that led her to become one of the most notorious female serial killers of our time. Her story is a complex blend of despair, violence, and controversy, intertwining elements of psychological intrigue, societal failure, and legal battles that challenge our perceptions of both villainy and victimhood. Aileen Wuornos's early life was marked by hardship and abuse that very few can imagine. Born on February the 29th, 1956, in Rochester, Michigan, Aileen's story began in chaos. As an early teen, she was pregnant, homeless, and fending for herself on the harsh streets. Her life a brutal saga of a survival that would foreshadow the violence that would later define her. Let's explore the impact of her upbringing and her psychological development and the series of events that led her down the path of crime. Aileen's childhood was a cauldron of neglect and abuse, a theme that tragically recurs in the backgrounds of many who cross the threshold into criminality. It began under circumstances that were fraught with challenges and devoid of the foundational support systems that many of us took for granted. Her story is one of early abandonment and systemic failure. Starting with a father who was entirely absent from her life due to his incarceration as a sex offender, a situation that preceded her very birth. This man, who by societal and biological design should have been a source of guidance and protection, was instead a shadowy figure whose life ended in tragedy, as he took his own life while still confined. This profound absence and loss set a somber tone for Aileen's early existence. embedding a sense of loss and abandonment at the very core of her being. The narrative of familial disconnect was further compounded by the actions of Aileen's mother, who made the decisive choice to abandon her children. This abandonment by their mother left Aileen and her elder brother in the care of their grandparents. Now, far from being a nurturing alternative, this new guardianship thrust them into an environment where warmth and affection were scarce commodities. The very individuals who were supposed to offer refuge and stability were themselves ensnared in their own battles, rendering them incapable of providing the care Aileen and her brother desperately needed. Aileen's grandmother, for example, was caught in the grips of alcoholism and was unable to fulfill the role of a nurturing caretaker. Alcoholism is a disease marked by its destructive patterns, and it likely introduced a layer of chaos and unpredictability into the household, further destabilizing an already fragile family dynamic. So instead of a safe haven, Aileen found herself navigating a world where stability was elusive and emotional support non-existent. Complicating this dynamic further was, of course, the figure of Aileen's grandfather, a man whose approach to discipline was rooted in violence and intimidation. Instead of embodying the role of a wise and gentle elder, he wielded discipline as a tool of control, very often crossing into the realm of abuse. This environment, characterized by fear and punishment rather than guidance, understanding, and love, stripped away any semblance of security, pushing Aileen further and further into isolation. Amidst these challenging circumstances, Aileen turned to sexual activities out of mere necessity by the unbelievable age of 11, which speaks volumes about her struggle for survival. In a heartbreaking testament to her dire situation, she found herself compelled to trade her body for basic necessities like food and cigarettes. This early foray into a transactional existence was not a choice, but a matter of survival. This only highlights the extreme levels of neglect and desperation that she faced. The eventual expulsion from her grandparents' home at the tender age of 15 marked a pivotal moment in Aileen's tumultuous journey. Stripped of her already tenuous living situation, she was literally cast adrift. No educational prospects, no guiding hand, no support system. This movement of expulsion was not just a physical removal from a household, but a symbolic severance from any remaining threads of stability or care. Now left to fend for herself in a world that had shown her, up to now, no kindness at all. Aileen's life became a stark representation of the consequences of abandonment and exploitation. The early years of Aileen Wuornos's life were marked by a profound lack of familial support, stability, and affection, setting the stage for a future fraught with challenges. Every aspect of her upbringing, from her parents' absence to the dysfunction and abuse within her grandparents' home, contributed a foundation riddled with trauma and neglect. the trajectory of Aileen's life from this point was spiralling in one direction, into the margins of society, where she survived through hitchhiking, prostitution, and an escalating series of petty crimes. This foundation of her early years is crucial in understanding the complex figure she would become. A person that was literally shaped and crafted by a world that offered her little but hardship and cruelty from her earliest days. The sequence of events that propelled Aileen Wuornos into the annals of American criminal history is both complex and tragic. Spanning one single year from 89 to 90, Wuornos's actions led to the loss of several lives. With each and every incident, further light was shed on her increasingly violent modus operandi.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following detailed account aims to chronologically explore the circumstances surrounding every case, adhering to the facts as documented in the public record. 1989 saw the beginning of her reign of terror. First, we have Richard Mallory. In December 1989, this case was the first to draw attention to Wuornos. A 51-year-old electric shop worker, Richard Mallory, had his vehicle found abandoned, and later, his body discovered in a wooded area, having died due to multiple gunshot wounds. Wuornos later claimed her actions were in self-defense, following an attempted sexual assault by Mallory. In June 1990, the body of David Spears, a 43-year-old construction worker, was found. He'd been shot six times. Spears' case was the second in a series that would eventually be linked to Wuornos, further establishing a pattern of lethal outcomes following any encounter with her. Later in May 1990, Charles Karskaden, a 40-year-old rodeo worker, was discovered deceased, having been shot nine times. the excessive use of violence in this case echoed the brutal nature of the encounters associated with Wuornos. In June 1990, Peter Seams, a 65-year-old retired merchant seaman, simply vanished. His vehicle was later found abandoned in another state, which the police managed to link back to Wuornos. However, Seams' body was never recovered, adding a layer of mystery to this already complex case. In July 1990, Troy Burris, a 50-year-old sausage salesman, was found dead, having been shot twice. The discovery of Burris's body further solidified the suspicion that a serial perpetrator was operating in the area. September 1990 saw the discovery of Charles Dick Humphreys, a 56-year-old retired US Air Force major who had been shot six times. Humphreys' death added to the growing list of victims and underscored the lethal pattern of any encounter linked to Wuornos. The final known victim, Walter Hieno Antonio, a 62-year-old truck driver, was found in November 1990. He'd been shot four times. Antonio's death marked the end of a series of violent incidents that had terrorized the region for roughly a year. This period of Wuornos' life, characterized by a series of tragic and violent events, paints a complex picture of her descent into criminality. Every incident marked by a lethal outcome. The arrest of Aileen Wuornos on January the 9th, 1991, marked the beginning of the end of one of the most infamous crime sprees in American history. Found at a biker bar in Volusia County, Florida, Wuornos' capture was not a direct result of her murders, but rather a series of seemingly inconsequential events that led investigators to her. The car of Peter Seams, found abandoned, had fingerprints inside, and they matched those of Wuornos. Already in the system due to her long-standing criminal record. She was arrested in the bar on the pretext of an outstanding warrant in the name of Lori Grody. But this pivotal moment set the stage for a legal battle that would captivate and divide the nation. Wuornos' trial for the murder of Richard Mallory commenced in January 1992. A trial that would become the focal point for debates on self-defense, mental health, and capital punishment, or the death penalty. Her defense argued that she killed Mallory in self-defense after he attempted to rape her, a narrative Wuornos would maintain for all her other victims. However, the prosecution painted a very different picture, depicting Wuornos as a cold-blooded killer who preyed on men. The trial was a media sensation, drawing attention to Wuornos' turbulent life and the tragic trajectory that led her to that courtroom. Central to the proceedings was the testimony of Tyria Moore, Wuornos' former partner, who, under police pressure, convinced Wuornos to confess over the phone. These confessions, fraught with emotional turmoil and legal implications, played a crucial role in the trial's outcome. On January the 27th, 1992, Wuornos was convicted of Mallory's murder, and subsequently sentenced to death, a verdict that would be repeated in several more trials for the other murders of her victims. Throughout her legal battles, Wernos's mental state became a point of contention. Her fluctuating claims of self-defense, her outbursts in court, and the stark portrayal of her life's hardships painted a complex picture of a woman pushed to the edge by a lifetime of abuse, neglect, and societal marginalization. The intrigue surrounding Aileen Wuornos extends beyond the crimes themselves, delving into the psychological underpinnings of her actions. Experts have debated her mental health, with diagnoses ranging from borderline personality disorder to antisocial personality disorder, attempting to unravel the motivation behind her killings. Wernos's claim of self-defense was initially met with some sympathy, especially considering her background of both sexual abuse and prostitution. However, as the number of victims increased, the narrative shifted from sympathy to viewing her as a manipulative, predatory individual. This dichotomy between victim and perpetrator in Wernos's cases raises profound questions about the intersection of trauma, mental health, and criminal responsibility. The psychological analysis of Wernos also touches on the broader societal failures that contributed to her descent into violence. Her life, marked by rejection, abuse, and desperation, highlights the devastating impact of systemic neglect on individuals who live on the fringes of society. Wernos's story is a grim reminder of the potential consequences of society's failure to protect its most vulnerable members. Aileen Wuornos's case has had a lasting impact on media, culture, and the public's imagination. Her life and crimes have been the subject of numerous documentaries, books, and the 2003 film Monster, which portrayed her tragic life and the complexity of her character. This portrayal contributed to a nuanced understanding of Wuornos, challenging the one-dimensional narrative of a cold-blooded killer and highlighting the societal and personal failures that contributed to her actions. The media's fascination with Wuornos also reflects broader cultural debates about gender, violence, and the criminal justice system. As a female serial killer, Wuornos defied the typical gendered stereotypes of violent crime, prompting discussion on how gender influences perceptions of both criminality and victimhood. On October the 9th, 2002, Aileen Wuornos was executed by lethal injection. Her final words were, "I'd just like to say I'm sailing with the rock, and I'll be back like Independence Day, with Jesus, June the 6th. Like the movie, Big Mothership and all, I'll be back." These cryptic last words, a fitting end to the enigmatic and tumultuous life of Wuornos, leaving a legacy shrouded in mystery, tragedy, and debate. Wuornos's story has prompted significant discourse on the death penalty, on mental health in the criminal justice system, and the treatment of women who commit violent crimes. Her case serves as a complex study on the interplay between individual agency and systemic failure, challenging society to reflect on the circumstances that lead individuals to commit heinous acts, and the ways in which those individuals are both judged and remembered. The story of Eileen Wuornos is a chronicle of tragedy, violence, and social neglect. It challenges us to look beyond the sensational headlines and consider the deeper human story beneath. Wuornos's life forces us to confront the uncomfortable questions about justice, empathy, and the fine line between victim and perpetrator. As we reflect on that legacy, let's remember the lessons we've learned from her story about the importance of compassion, understanding, addressing the root causes of crime and violence in society. It's through this reflection we honour not only the memory of Wuornos's victims, but we also acknowledge the complex web of circumstances that define the human condition. Now that's where this episode should have ended, but I'm going to give you a little sneak peek into what season 3 will hold, or will hopefully hold, namely my opinion. Now my opinion on the Eileen Wuornos murders, yes, of course, they're horrific. But back then, how likely was it that a woman could be believed to be attacked so many times? The answer? Minimal. Or was it a case she would go out and wait for the attack, and then give that attacker basically their just desserts? Or is it as it states in the history books, she was a lunatic with a gun, with a hatred for men due to her upbringing, and this was the result? If there is one thing I will say, is that I don't believe in this case anything to do with her mental condition was truly considered. Let's revisit her final words. Remember, she's about to die. She knows she's about to be killed by the state. Yet she says, "I'd just like to say I'm sailing with the rock. I'll be back like Independence Day with Jesus on June the 6th. Like the movie, a big mother ship and all. I'll be back." Now, I'm sorry if this rubs some people the wrong way, but I do believe you need to be mentally competent to stand trial and definitely to receive the death penalty. And if I'm about to press a button to kill somebody for their crimes, and those words leave their mouth, well, I'd be asking for a second opinion. And if your argument is, but that person killed someone, therefore kill the killer, then I'm sorry, that's not justice, that's not the law, that's religion. That's an eye for an eye. Can I say, hand on heart, that I genuinely believe every single one of those men murdered by Eileen did not try to sexually attack her? No. I can't say that with any conviction at all. My own personal belief is that the first one or two were genuine acts of defence against a sexual attack. I then think something snapped, and I then think she acted almost like a honey trap. And when she believed, when she thought in her mind, that person has now crossed the line, she gave herself the permission to commit the most heinous of acts, that of murder. But that's just my opinion on it. That's just a sneak peek into what the remainder of the deadly countdown will begin to look like. So mark your calendars. Friday, the 29th of March, Good Friday, we return for season 3 of the deadly countdown, The Rebirth. Until then, stay safe. Take care. I'll speak to you all again on the 29th. But for Eileen Wuornos, the damsel of death, let's stop the clock. ¶¶
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.